Welcome to Between Sundays. I'm Tyler, and you better rejoice. Today, we have abundant hope, no matter our circumstances. You can keep your don't worry, be happies. We want our banger, rejoice in the Lord always. But before we blow your mind with peace, now that they're always full of joy in the Lord, let's welcome in our favorite singing co-hosts, Maren and Amy. Shalom, guys.
Shalom.
How's it going?
Good.
Amy, welcome back.
I know.
It's been a while.
It's been a very long time.
No Barry. So we got to put Amy in the seat. You're in the hot seat today. You got to answer for the sermon.
You like the new digs, great. Amy?
I do. It's very fancy.
Yeah, new setup. We're adding something every week. Liz Caudle's in here just tinkering.
Well, I really hope I get a quote up there, but so far, no go.
I got one.
Oh, you've
you.
Got some quotes.
Yeah, they're just not on the wall. They didn't make it. They didn't make it to the
How
wall.
Long do I have to wear this mask?
Put that up. That's a good one. That's a good one. Wait, didn't I say something like I'm a very selfish person?
I'm an emotional person.
That's what it was. I'm an emotional person.
I'm an emotional person.
Yeah.
There you go.
I am. It's fine.
Guys, no Barry. He's taking a well-deserved
resting
2-week
hiatus
break because just finished 7 straight weeks of preaching,
going
of meeting, of pastoring through the Reimagine series, and he's taking a couple weeks off. So no Barry this week. We're bringing in the big guns. Amy's here.
Yeah. People have been waiting. They've been waiting for 8 months for this to happen.
Yeah. Was that the last time you were
I don't
here?
Remember. I could have been on a couple of times at the beginning of the year, but we weren't you weren't recording. I spoke on the 22nd of December, but then of course you were
and
not.
You spoke
recording
the very first
Sunday of the year.
No, we didn't do it that week.
Yeah. So I didn't make the cut and
nope.
Oh, I guess I was here. Was I here when I spoke in the Joseph series? I had to have been.
Yeah. But we were like over there.
Oh, right. This is all new,
yeah,
but
new
I
digs.
Said I haven't been here for 8 months. That might not quite be true. Yeah. Maybe six months, something like that.
Someone will figure it out.
Yeah. I'm sure they're doing the math.
Yeah. we've got some new art on the wall.
Cool stuff.
For those of you watching on YouTube, quotes from years past of Between Sundays and photos and plants.
Mm.
So we've got, all kinds of sound bites. That reminds me, my wife brought this up because Liz Caudle is in here, like I said, tinkering, and she's asked my wife a couple questions, just like, I guess, suggestions on how to make this place come to life a little bit. My wife's idea is
to get you out of here. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's submit your favorite sound clip and we'll put it on the wall.
I like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Great job, Lauren. Yeah. That's a good suggestion.
It's too late because we've already got sound clips on the wall.
No, you've got that wall's ginormous. You've got plenty of room to put more clips up there.
Yeah. Guys, what is new?
What is new?
Amy says she has lots to talk about.
Well, I always have lots to talk about.
What you got?
Well, I spent my weekend in Nashville.
Yeah.
And end of an
like
era.
Big shot.
I'm kind of a big shot.
End of an era. What do you mean?
End of an era. Maggie, my baby, it was her final show choir competition. And so that is the final show choir competition for me as a mom.
Oh my goodness.
Forever and always.
How are you holding up?
Yeah. Are you all right?
Yeah. They won. They killed it. It was awesome. They won best vocals, best visuals. Ugh. Their finals performance on Saturday was the best. It was almost flawless. I'm not sure one of those kids made a mistake out of 52 kids. It was awesome. But the minute it was over, they all come out, you know, to sit and watch the other groups. And so she comes out and she's like frantically looking for me. And she just finds me and just loses it and just starts crying. So I'm crying. I look over, Jeff, my husband, is crying.
Oh.
And he never cries. So it was just, it was awesome because they won and it was so much fun and they were so good. But it's just weird. Like it's the end of it. And so I'm sad, but it was a really fun weekend and we had a blast and she
went out on top.
She did.
That's
she
awesome.
Did.
That's
she did.
Awesome.
So it's super fun.
Ooh.
That can be a quote on the wall. Ew. I know that. Why did I ever do that?
I don't know that I've heard that one before.
Ooh.
I don't even want to know what I was talking about. I really don't. Like, why would I do that in a message ever?
I don't know, but you did.
I don't like if my family had their hands on these sound clips, it would be so detrimental to me. Anyway, it was a great weekend.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Long and I'm really tired from show choir season because there it's late nights and she's tired. She's really tired.
Maybe but you can get her back in church now.
Yeah, she's missed a lot of church. Yeah. I know.
So you just played a clip for me of her show choir.
Yeah, a little bit.
Begs the question, why doesn't she sing at church?
I know. Part of it is because she's not here enough. I mean, she has had no time at all. But, and for a while, she made her very nervous because she's performing when she's doing show choir. And that feels very different than getting up and like singing worship songs and praising. And
my daughter said the same thing.
She doesn't want it to feel ever like it's a performance. And so she's kind of had to check. She has led in Merge a few times, not led, but sung in the ensemble. And she was on the main stage one time for a student. So, and I think she's open to doing that. It's just been a really busy.
She's awesome. I got to be on with her at Merge one time. The first time I ever heard her sing, I had the same thought. Where has she been?
Yeah.
She's such a strong alto, such a mature voice for her age. So rich.
Where has she been? Hold her part and blend pretty well. So I hopefully maybe over the summer she can do a little
it's
bit
only
more
a matter
before
of time.
She leaves for school. And, all
and then
those.
Every time she comes home and I know, on every break, ever.
On every break ever. Yeah. So it's a good weekend. But
so she's got her plan all set up, right? She's got a school picked out, program picked out, and it's right down this road.
Yeah.
So
Muncie, Indiana.
Is that where you're moving then?
Yeah. I did tell her that because I have so many friends up there, I'll probably be up there weekly. And she was like, that is not happening and not necessary.
You might need to be because you're going to have to drive her around.
She would kill you for saying that on this podcast. She will have her license before she gets to college. We're going to make that happen. Oh, but she would die. She's starting to get to the place where she's like, I can't believe I don't have my license. I don't know why it's taken her 2 years to get there, but it is. So
you're like a month and a half away from graduation. How are you feeling? You've been talking to the lead team, pastors, for about a year about how sad you're going to be. How are you feeling right now, knowing that you're like 8 weeks away from graduation?
I'm just trying to not think about it and just be present where I am.
You're not like planning the party yet?
Well, we are kind of planning the party. And that so that is a little like I do wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I've done nothing for this yet. And I don't know what's happening. We're doing it with somebody else, but whatever other friends. Yeah, that is helpful.
Yeah.
Are you having it at Grace?
No, we are not having it at Grace. I did have Liza's at Grace. But yeah, so I'm thinking about what it needs to be done, but I'm not thinking about like the fact that she's actually graduating and I'll probably be sadder when we get to moving her to school.
Yeah.
Like that's going to be the hard time. And I do wonder, like, I hope Jeff and I can make it. I don't know. I mean, we do look at each other and think, I mean, like I said to him the other night, I said, so when no one's here, are you still going to like go down and watch your own show in the basement?
Like, is that what he does now?
Yeah, he really likes the basement. He really.
Well, would you watch his show with him?
I might, or he could join me in watching.
I mean, he could watch your show sometimes, and like, you can watch his.
I don't watch each other's shows, and that'll be life.
We'll just
that's
go back
your new
and
life.
Forth. Yeah,
watching.
Why
each
does
other's
he do
shows.
That now?
Because we're usually watching something that he like. The girls, Liza and Aunt Maggie, are both there, and we watch the same kinds of things. And he wants to go down and watch. Like last night, he's like, I'm not staying up here and not watching March Madness. Like there's 15 games on right now. And so, and the girls don't want to, like, I might say, oh, okay, I'll watch that with you. And the girls are like, no, we're not watching basketball. So hopefully that'll change, but it's just,
yeah, he'll
weird.
Come upstairs
sometimes. Maybe
he will.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying when everybody's gone,
I hope so.
He'll be up there.
I don't know,
Amy, you seem just as busy going to track meets you'll be going to performances. You keep very, very busy, even with kids in college.
I do. Yeah. But Annie may be real far away. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. Like that may change. If she's like 12 hours away, we're not going to be able to go as
you
much.
Are.
But I know.
Yeah, you are.
Except I have a job. Remember? I have a job. I know everybody's not aware of that because I seem to scurry off a lot. But
you scurry back and that's what matters.
I do scurry back. I did get back. Yeah. For Celebration Sunday. And it was, well, I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Is there a beeping?
Oh yeah, there's a beeping.
Okay,
it's outside though, right? It's not in here. There's a beep. I think they're using the lift.
Yeah.
Sounds like
good.
A beep of
yeah,
the lift.
Perfect timing. about
well, they were popping
about three
balloons.
Minutes ago. They were popping balloons, and I was like, in the world of we have to prepare every 2 weeks for an active shooter.
Oh my god,
popping the balloons!
No,
in the-
it was
wow.
We do.
When your anxiety tops mine, I'm always really impressed. Like, I'm the worst case scenario person on this podcast. When you go there before I do, I'm very impressed.
I'm just saying we have to have some kind of update all the time about what we do in these types of situations. And there's a bunch of balloons popping.
Well, there could have been an email prior to the balloon popping.
Yeah, it would have been.
Nobody be alarmed. Balloons.
Yeah, nobody be alarmed. But I was like, I'm sure that's going to make it on the podcast because it's right on the other side of this wall.
Yeah, if they keep popping them, I'm sure you're going to hear it.
All right.
Because they were pretty loud.
Good. Now that we've talked about that, Maren, what's new with you?
I had a big weekend. My grandma passed away and her first of two memorials was this Saturday. So my sisters came up from North Carolina, which was super awesome. And they came up Thursday so that we could just spend all day Friday just being together.
That's nice.
And then they came up in a minivan, which was great because that meant that my family of four and my two sisters, who just came by themselves, they didn't bring their kids this time, but all of us could kind of go up to Chicago together.
That's
and
good.
That was the best. We did what we always do. We passed the phone around and we picked songs and sometimes like we throw out themes, you know?
Yeah.
So I said something to the effect of like, pick a song that defines your childhood. Mm. So that was just hilarious to hear what my sisters picked. My sisters are 5 years younger than me and 6 years younger than me. So we grew up parallel, but then when I moved away, they kind of had this whole alternate childhood that I wasn't really around for. So it just was really fun.
That's fun.
I'm a very sentimental person, very sentimental. So I have all the things. I've got the pictures. I've got both grandma's cookbooks, recipe boxes, things like that. So we were kind of thumbing through both of our grandmas on our mom's side and our dad's side, thumbing through recipes and unlocking memories just even by doing that. And all of that was ahead of the memorial. But my sisters both moved to the South. They both live in the mountains of North Carolina. And they don't have things like taffy apple salad down there. That was in every grocery store.
What is that? I don't
taffy
know what
apple
that
salad.
Is. Yeah.
See, we're finding out that things were like regional that we just thought were normal because we grew up with them.
Is taffy apple a type of apple or do you put, what is?
It's taffy apple salad.
What is it?
Have you had a taffy apple?
Is it called taffy apple?
You make it into a cold
like red
salad.
Delicious?
And then you get it like from the deli section in like, you know, one of those little plastic containers. Or if you're my grandma, of course, you're making it fresh for every holiday. But my sister, like that just unlocked a memory for my sister. And she was taking pictures of these recipe cards so she could make that stuff when she goes back home. Atomic cake is another hyper local, hyper regional cake that my grandma used to make. It's a banana cake, but it has like strawberries and bananas. And I think she used Cool Whip as whipped cream. It was my dad's favorite. We had it for his birthday constantly. So we were looking for that specific recipe, but.
And I forgot about banana cake.
I guess it's from like a bakery in the South suburbs, like in the Calumet region.
But and she made it.
She made it. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you find the recipe?
We did not. We found a recipe for banana cake, but not for atomic, not for her atomic cake. Yeah. She was awesome. My grandma started a couple of businesses throughout her life, a catering company. Mm. She made my wedding cake. She made all of our kids' birthday cakes, all of our birthday cakes. Just she was a baker. Mm. So we had a great time just remembering grandma and then driving up to her memorial and, she is buried with both of her parents and I'd never been to that cemetery before. So just lots of family history stuff.
Yeah. So when you say first of two memorial services, like what differentiates the two?
Yeah. So my aunt really wanted to be able to put time into a memorial with speeches and pictures and didn't want it to be like this rushed thing. Also because we're having to kind of pull family from my all over the country. My cousin lives in Montana, I want to say. My sister's, of course, in North Carolina, and coordinating everybody's schedule was going to be very difficult.
Yeah.
So this weekend was the kind of cemetery, chapel, memorial, very, very brief.
Burial,
and then a lunch,
okay.
A luncheon afterward. And then the one Memorial Day weekend will be the one with more speeches from family and tributes and pictures and all
at
the things.
At a church.
At the church with all the kids too. So my sisters will bring their little ones and everybody will be there. Yeah. It was great. We went to a lot of coffee houses and did a lot of thrift store shopping. And yeah, that's what we do.
That's fun. It's fun to have.
Did you show them around Indy? Show them the sights?
The sights? No, I took them to three different Arabic coffee shops in Fishers. I showed them any sights, that's what I did. Check out this coffee.
Yeah,
Monet, which ones? Or what's which that one?
Oh, the one that you went to.
The one I went to, that's like 500 degrees.
And it was so warm in there.
Oh my goodness.
I almost said something to you about it. Allisonville, what's it called? Miriam Coffee.
That one I just saw the other day. Yeah. Is that newer?
It's newer. It's beautiful in there. Okay. The coffee's amazing. The pastries are incredible.
Okay.
But it's 400 degrees.
Yeah. Oh. It was one of these days recently where it's like got up to 80 degrees.
And it was 400
and
degrees.
And I walked in there with Jaden. And we were there, I don't know, an hour, two.
Sweating buckets.
And I looked at Jaden one time and he grabbed the back of his shirt and he started like,
because he was so hot.
Because we were both just dripping sweat inside this coffee shop that was probably 100 degrees in there.
It was quite warm.
Yeah.
Like even all these weeks later, it was still very warm. We went to Yaffa Golden, which is my favorite. Yeah. Again, with the pastries. My goodness. Where is that one? So good. That's 37 and like 141st or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Over by that Crunch Fitness is.
Yeah. I have to tell Annie about all these. My daughter Annie loves coffee. Yeah.
So we hit three in one day.
Okay. What was the third? I have to know what the third was.
Nia on 106th. Okay. Because they were having a night festival.
Oh, that's fun.
So we went to that. Again, like they lots of food.
Celebrate the night.
So just one night, one rager.
March 20th. 21st. It's the big night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
So lots of coffee, lots of thrift store shopping.
Yeah.
Including, but not limited to, the Grace Thrift Store, which my sisters had never seen before.
Yeah. Oh, good.
And said was the best out of the three or four that we went to all weekend.
The Grace Thrift Store.
It is a Grace.
If we could afford a sign at the street that just said Grace Thrift Store and got a little more publicity, like it's a true hidden gem.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, if we were open a few different hours, that would help. Just would. Saturday would be a big day for thrifting.
Have you found it convenient, like, here on the job yet? Like, this just happened to me. I bought some tea last night. We went to Saraga International Market. My sisters love that kind of thing. So we went there. I got some chai tea, not realizing that it was loose leaf chai tea. So I went to make some today. Oh. Here it is. But I didn't, like, have anything to, like, I didn't have a tea diffuser or anything like that. Right. So I ran to the thrift store. And they had this tiny little French press pot that I bought just to make chai
and
in my office.
Keep it in your office.
That's right. Like went to Leslie. She knew exactly what I needed. Bailed me out.
I did that one time. it was years ago. Probably when it first started, first opened. Somebody was like, it was really nice out. And it was like 2 p.m. They're like, you want to go golfing? I was like, but it's 2. And he's like, I made a tea time. The fourth dropped out. We got room for one more if you want to come. And I was like, I'd have to go get my stuff. And he's like, thrift store. So I went to the thrift store and got a polo and some shorts and on my way. Perfect. Made it. Yeah.
Cause you golf people have to wear collars, right?
Yeah. You got to wear some, you got to look nice.
Just a whole
you
got
to look
world.
Nice to play terrible golf.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is convenient. It is right there. But I kind of forget it's there until like I get 50% off.
Okay. Well, shout out to Leslie because they weren't even open. And I went down there and they were all in a meeting. Like the whole team was in a meeting. And I like ducked in to say, hey, and I was like, oh, I was just looking for this thing. And she left the meeting and opened the thrift store to allow me to, she reopened the registers to let me pay for this thing.
That's good.
I also like online. They have some really good stuff.
Oh, we know
all
about your online shopping.
I know, but and it's bad. But the thrift store online, it's just so easy. And they have great stuff.
Well, and they have different stuff than what's in the store.
They do. Like they have a lot more furniture and stuff online, and you can get really good deals.
Yeah.
Like if you've got a kid that's getting an apartment or something, it's the place to go.
Going to college.
Yeah.
Or,
right. Yeah. Yeah. It's got good stuff.
Everybody's got like those seminal sermons that they give at Grace.
Pick your plum.
Yeah.
You're going there.
Yours is your online shopping sermon.
That's the one. That's the one.
No, I don't know. Pick your plum. What is that?
Yeah, that was the name of one of my sites.
That's what she said. Oh, yeah. We're talking about the same sermon.
I just remember you confessing your addiction to online shopping.
Yeah.
The other
one. Apparently no one's been holding me accountable for it.
The other one is when you compared Elsa to
Mary,
Jesus's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I love that
Seminal.
Movie. I just heard that song the other day and I was like, I loved some of those songs in that movie. Yeah. Frozen 2. It was good.
Guys, we are 4 weeks away from Easter.
Oh, don't you have anything to share with us about your life?
Well, not really. So,
okay. But it sounds like you do. Cause you said,
well, a couple weeks ago, I shared fluid spring break plans.
Oh,
and they're still fluid. They're still very fluid. I just got text as we speak, campaigning to go to the beach and then to pay for her friend to join us.
Oh.
So.
Well, the go to the beach part sounds great.
And again, there's usually a backstory. And I feel like there's something you're not telling us.
She looked at the weather in Georgia, where she is going.
Which is not going to be
good. It's not going to be great.
Okay.
And then she looked at the weather at the beach.
Uh-huh. And it's going to be great.
And it's going to be great.
Uh-huh.
So new idea is to all go to the beach and then pay for her friend's family.
Why do you keep getting hung up on this and pay for part? Like,
well, because that's a major.
You could just leave it.
What if I left that part out? If I left that part out.
New plan is to just go to the beach when the weather is nice.
New plan.
Do you think that the go to the beach plan will happen if you don't pay for the friend?
No.
And is it like I got next? You know, like maybe your friend paid for something in the past and now it's your turn.
Well, she never paid anything for me. So
when would you be leaving for this said trip? Because I'm looking at Destin weather and it doesn't look great.
Well, spring break is Friday, starts Friday.
Whoa.
Well, it's in the low 70s.
All right. Well,
that would be warm enough.
That's
for
not
me,
like the beach weather.
Yeah. To me that right. I'm chilly on the beach with a sweatshirt if it's 68 degrees. For
but
sure.
Is it sunny?
Well, Saturday, 50%
this is what people
rain.
Tune into Between Sundays for. I got to tell you, local coffee shop locations and weather reports from Destin.
And thrift store reviews.
Yeah. And guess what? Those local coffee shops are thrilled that we just talked about those on the pod.
Yeah, well,
everybody's looking for a good coffee
spot.
Spent
23 minutes.
We also talked about show choir, end of
That's
eras.
True.
End of eras for both.
I don't have much to report
a funeral.
On. I spent some time working in my yard this past weekend.
Oh, good, because there's some so delivery people with concerns about your yard.
So
I'm glad you got out there.
So I have the sweet gum.
Did you share that on here?
No. So I have the sweet gum tree.
the delivery guy was giving you suggestions.
I'll share in a second.
I think it's the funniest story ever.
I have a sweet gum tree. So sweet gum tree is the... I think it's called sweet gum tree. It's a tree, a giant tree.
Is it that like taffy apple salad?
In the spring, it drops these like spike balls, these spiky balls that just cover my yard. And they're so hard to pick up. And a couple weeks ago, I had flowers delivered to Lauren. And they're just, I mean, they're all over my yard. I'm hoping it's windy enough today that it kind of like blew some of them into my neighbors or like down the street or something.
Nice.
Cause as soon as you turn onto our street, you're like running over spike balls that have come from my yard. Cause there's so many of them.
Oh my word.
No, like your neighbors don't have this tree.
No.
You are polluting the neighborhood.
Yes.
Single-handedly.
It's the only one on the street.
Wow.
I think maybe you should get rid of it.
Yeah. So had flowers delivered and the guy called me to confirm delivery from the flower shop. Yeah, thank you for sniffing right in our
I've
ears.
I've got a little bit of a cold. I can't help it. You can at least turn away from the mic.
I
didn't know it was going to be that loud. And you can make it a sound bite. Just me sniffing.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
So he called me to confirm the delivery. He's like, hey, Tyler, it's Mark from Posh Petals, and I just wanted to let you know I'm delivering your flowers. They're delivered. And by the way, you know they make tools to pick up all these spike balls, right?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Wow. So
that was the call I got from the delivery
and
guy.
And by the way.
Yeah.
I said when the delivery guy is concerned about your yard, you got problems.
Yeah. So Matt, who works here, also has a sweet gum tree. And he...
Yeah, he seems like he just knows a lot about a lot.
He's
yeah.
a doer.
He's a doer. So
he does over
I was sharing with him about the all the
How did
spike
you know
balls.
To share it with him? Did you know he had spike balls in his yard?
No, I think I was just giving prayer requests or something.
Come on. Could everybody just pray for my sweet gum tree?
I need help picking up these spike balls. Now, I don't know how it came up, but it came up and he has one. And so he was texting me over the weekend about a way to like have the tree grow without growing these spike balls.
Oh,
so
really?
It's some kind of injecting something. So he and I are on the case and he said he's going to help me out.
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got to do is inject your tree with something.
Yeah.
I, along with the friends of the pod, will be waiting with bated breath to find out.
Well,
how
I raked up half of my yard on Saturday and then was really grateful that it was rainy on Sunday. So I didn't have to rake the other half, but I still got to do the other half at some point.
I know. Yeah. You know what? Milo and Lane.
They're big helps. Yeah. All right, guys, what was more surprising and impressive? That Barry went 7 weeks in a row preaching or that he sang 3 times in the sermon?
Yeah, I think singing the singing. For sure.
So he sang Don't Worry, Be Happy. Mm-hmm. Actually, what was more impressive? Him going 7 weeks in a row or him knowing the lyrics to a Grammy award-winning song? Because usually the songs he knows, it's like...
Well,
it's pretty universal.
Yeah, he sang...
I don't know the words to that song.
That's what's surprising here.
Here's I know the Don't Worry, Be Happy part.
You might want to sing it note for note.
No, I mean, it's like... It's pretty simplistic.
Anytime that song came on, it just switch. Just change. Yeah, I don't like that song.
Yeah.
You know, that tracks.
I wasn't a huge fan of that song either. I don't know why. I just didn't, I wasn't.
Because it's not a good song.
Well, and it was my era. It was 89 I was a senior in high school. No, I really, I don't know why.
Acapella jam.
I know. And I know he's a really fabulous musician.
Incredible
performer. Yeah. Maybe if I'd seen him live.
Yeah.
Would have changed
everything.
That's
what you should do. Go home. Everyone should just do that. Watch Bobby McFerrin videos live.
Yeah.
Amazing.
He partied hard.
The fact that he could command like enormous audiences with just
his voice, himself, his body, his
percussiveness, like all on his own.
I will watch it and I will change my tune.
I will not watch it.
You will watch it.
The fact that Barry knew the words or like,
well,
anyways,
let's just be honest. I mean, he looked him up. It wasn't like he walked up there and he was like off the cuff. Hey, I think I'm going to sing Don't Worry, Be Happy.
What's a good thing for Philippians 4? Oh, this Grammy award winning song.
I'm going to sing it. I thought it was super clever.
And I'm going to sing it. And then 2 minutes later, I'm going to sing a kid's church song.
Well, everyone
and then
knows
30
that
minutes later, I didn't know that one.
Oh, gosh. Did you not grow up in the church?
No, I didn't.
You said you went to Awana.
I went to Awana.
And they didn't sing Rejoice in the Lord Always.
I don't remember it.
I wish he would have had the whole congregation sing it in a row.
I know.
Amy and I were ready.
I know.
We didn't even get to finish it.
We were poised and ready.
I was sitting next to
you guys.
And you guys basically heckled Barry.
Yeah.
We're sitting in the front row.
He did it with the other song too.
Yeah, I know. You guys both said that out loud.
Well, you don't do that to people.
He started singing the song and you go, all right, well, let's finish it.
I mean,
and he looked at, cause Olivia was on my other side and she said the same thing. She's like, are we going to finish it? Yeah. And he looked at all of you and was like, okay, anyways. And he like, he kept going.
Yeah. Cause then he did Hamilton.
Yeah. Then he did the Hamilton song and you're like, we're not going to finish that one either.
In the song.
Yeah.
King George actually says everybody and you're all supposed to sing along and he just cut it right off.
He didn't.
Missed opportunities.
All three times you guys made comments.
It would have brought great joy.
Yeah.
Which is what we were talking about to all of us to sing those songs together.
Yeah. So he's obviously not here to talk about a sermon, which is why we've taken 25 minutes to not talk about a sermon. But
I thought the songs were great. And I thought thinking back and that Don't Worry, Be Happy was such a perfect
way
to talk about the difference between happiness and joy and the difference between what Bobby McFerrin was saying in a song and what Paul was saying in Philippians. And I thought it was brilliant. And people, Jeff, my husband, said, hey, Barry's full of jokes today and they're all landing. He was like, He was like, they are all people are with him.
Comedy and police.
They're landing. Yeah, Jeff. I mean, if anyone's met Jeff, haven't you always thought comedy yeah. police? But they all think he says he's funnier than me. Like he really legitimately.
That's pretty funny.
He does think he's really funny.
No, he and is.
Okay, he's fine. But anyway, yeah, Barry was like, I felt like the whole room was tracking with him yesterday.
Yeah,
I mean,
good.
I think they always do, yeah. but yesterday it just felt like they
Well,
they
3 days ago.
Sure. Yep.
What?
3 days ago, because it comes out Wednesday. I see.
All right, yeah. So let's talk about the difference between joy and happiness. Barry focused primarily on Philippians 4. And that's where Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And when he said that, and when I read it, I was like, is that supposed to be encouraging? Because I feel overwhelmed by rejoice in the Lord always. Mm-hmm. And Maren's kind of preached on a similar sentiment in the past. So what do you guys think? Encouraging or overwhelming? Rejoice in the Lord always.
I mean, I think it'll always feel both. I think it will feel both,
yeah.
you know, because yeah. I think that's the point. Like, it's what I preached about when I talked about James.
Yeah. Consider it all joy.
Count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. It does feel overwhelming. And I think it's supposed to feel like a challenge. But then it becomes this steady undercurrent. And when you know, and that's where it's encouraging. I think it's encouraging that it's even possible. I think initially it feels like it's impossible to rejoice in the Lord always, or to pray without ceasing, or to count it all joy. Like there's a lot of big asks in the Bible, or big challenges from the New Testament writers like that. But it's something to aspire to. And it's something that once you understand, you kind of feel like, oh, where has this been? You mean I could have had this peace all along? You mean I could have had this steady conversation, this back and forth dialogue with God all along? You mean I could have had this joy, this peace that Barry talked about all along? Like they are big asks. And again, something to aspire to, but not outside of our reach. That they're possible. And that's why they're suggestions or mandates in the Bible.
Well, in the whole, yes, at face value, it felt overwhelming, but then as he unpacked it, it didn't.
Yeah.
Like it didn't feel as, I thought his examples of a child were spot on.
I'll read that.
A rattle brings you happiness, but joy comes from knowing, taking your parents' hand and knowing that your parent is there and they're going to take care of you and they love you. Like if we approach God's nearness to us and the Father's love for us, then there is joy in that. And it doesn't feel like happiness. There's like the whole idea of peace and how they go hand in hand, like, the joy comes from the peace of knowing.
Yeah.
So yeah, at face value, I felt like, oh, well, yeah, sure. I'm sure everyone around me is like, I want to rejoice in all these circumstances that stink in my life. But when he unpacked it was much more palatable, I felt like.
Yeah. He said, imagine a little baby. Happiness is that baby watching Cocomelon, which is a terrible show.
Well, it must be new because I did not know what that was.
It's basically the example people give if you're like, hey, you want to rot your kid's brain?
Oh, okay.
Turn on this.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
It's just like very stimulating in cartoon baby singing like Wheels on the Bus and stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
Joy is that baby falling asleep secure in his mother's arms. Happiness is a cool rattle that plays music, and joy is dad coming home. Do you see the difference? One is momentary pleasure or delight. The other is a soul level certainty that I am loved. Mom and dad are here. That is joy.
Yeah. I read somewhere today that happiness, the world's happiness is external, and joy, God's joy, is internal. And both of those things would seem to describe that sense of like inner peace you have when you're held in your mom's arms, when you're calmed, when you just feel at peace with the world. And then dad coming home, it's that sense of internal peace of like, all is well.
This is the first time I think I've considered because I don't radiate joy.
No, you don't.
No,
it's probably because you skipped that song every time it came on the radio.
Yeah,
you never learn.
I'm not somebody that's like super optimistic. Mm-hmm. I know I'm telling you, I'm confessing here.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah. But this is the first time I heard this passage, rejoice in the Lord always. And I kind of felt like I was given a gift. Like that is a gift. The gift of joy or being able to rejoice is like a response. It's not something I can just like conjure up. Maybe you can. I don't know. Do you guys think you can conjure up joy?
No.
I feel like for me,
you can conjure happiness.
Yeah, I can conjure happiness, but for me, joy seems like it's a reaction to God's nearness or to God's presence, because it's that internal aspect or internal piece.
I think you have a peace about you, though.
Yeah,
like you may. I wouldn't say you walk around as like, "Hey, Mr. Happy," like that. That's, but there is a peace about you. So I would say there is a joy in you. Deep down somewhere. Right. No, but
deep down.
But I do think that the peace is part of the joy. It's the peace of knowing my dad's home.
Yeah.
It's the peace of falling asleep in my mom's arm. That's where that there's like this sense of like comfort and warmth and like, yeah, that's where joy. I think that's where the joy comes from.
Yeah. Barry said an overflow of confidence that the God of peace is with us. Mm-hmm. Our dad's home.
Right.
It's that overflow of confidence.
Yeah, it's like joy is like a posture.
Yes.
It's like happiness is a reaction to something good, and joy is a posture of knowing something of that's rooted in something deeper, sounds like.
And the problem with most of our world, including Christians, is that they are chasing after happiness. Mm. They are chasing after a fleeting feeling that makes them feel really good for right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many of them have that joy. I don't know. Would you be chasing after happiness if you had that joy? Like if you knew, if you trusted in the nearness of God and the love of God and that he is close and taking care of us, would you chase after the fleeting
after happiness?
I don't know.
I think you would, but I think, like, again, that's a discipline. Like it's, that kind of goes back to sermons we had back in the fall about contentment. Mm-hmm. Like you can, I think you can have this undercurrent of joy. You can have this like steady state of being or this posture of joy, but then you could still be tempted to, you know,
chase after the thing,
whatever the newest thing is.
Right.
But then that goes back to the discipline of being content with what you have.
Yeah. This is the first time I've considered, not the first time, but this, I consider joy to kind of be like hearing this message and on the heels of our endurance series with faith. It's like, it's possible to have joy. It's possible to rejoice and still mourn. Mm-hmm. It's possible to have joy and rejoice and still carry the weight of the world. Mm-hmm. Doesn't Paul say something like that in like 2 Corinthians where he's like, we're sorrowful, but we still rejoice. Like it, both things are possible. Mm-hmm. And at face value, it's like, for me personally, joy has always felt like an unattainable thing because I don't radiate that. My wife radiates it. Mm-hmm. My dad radiates it. And it's something I wish I had. It was more natural for me.
What? Your wife radiates it so much. And so does my sister, Felicia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they met each other.
Oh,
this weekend,
just an explosion of joy in the lobby.
It was like two suns colliding.
She actually said something last night, like after church wound down and everything. She's like, Maren said that her sister Felicia, if she lived here, would love me. I just feel so good about that.
So. It's true. The minute we walked away from your wife, my sister's like, man, I would be friends with her if I lived here. It's like, yeah, because you're the same person.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you can just stand in the light of Lauren's joy.
I know. And I do, but it's just not natural. Like it's never been a natural thing for me, but this and the series before it has kind of made me feel, okay, like it's possible. I do rejoice in the Lord. And I feel like that's possible while also still being sad sometimes or still being carrying heavy things.
I have a friend that says all the time, two things can be true at once.
Yes.
And most of the time, two things are true at once. I think most of the world, most people are carrying joy and sad. That's the brilliance of that movie Inside Out is mm-hmm. like it puts in cartoon form exactly what we all, and without the sorrow, I don't know, and the grief that you have sometimes in life, I don't know mm-hmm. that you would fully experience the joy. I think some of it comes from that too. Like you understand joy so much more when you've felt some of the grief and sorrow that life yeah, brings to too. Us as well.
Very much. Yeah.
Amy, you said something interesting about people pursuing happiness. Do you think what?
I'm just so well, excited we'll cut it I out. Said something interesting.
We'll cut that part out.
But, okay.
Do Great. You guys think Christians are known for joy? Because I feel like if there's one thing we should be known for, it's
sure.
it's our joy. Yeah. So what do you guys think?
Generally speaking, it's not how we are depicted.
No.
In popular culture.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No.
Isn't that a bummer? That should be like the biggest bummer of all.
Well, I mean, when you go to a restaurant and they say their worst yeah. customers are the people that are coming in Sunday at noon.
Yes.
Because, from church.
Yeah. Like yeah. that doesn't yeah. sound joyful to me. That sounds like really crabby people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So do you think, like, why do you think that is?
And I think when you meet a joyful person, I think it's overwhelmed. Like people are like, wow, like,
yeah, I want that.
Where did this person come from?
Do you think we overemphasize happiness?
I think a lot of people don't know the difference.
I mean, church, do you think churches overemphasize happiness?
Certain churches do.
Sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because again, I'm thinking about the Endurance series and then Reimagine. And it stayed in my mind for months now. Somebody earlier this year asked, you know, how can I pray for you? And I said, I feel like I've been agitated for months. Mm-hmm. And I think it's this. I think it's like, obviously our culture is not church necessarily, but our culture is a very consumer driven society. It's conditioned us, it's conditioned me for like emotional highs, motivational speeches, mm-hmm. Short attention spans mm-hmm. to live a comfortable life. And we've been trained to expect a faith that fits yeah. in that. And I think churches accommodate that sometimes and it feels good. But joy is like not that. And so I wonder if we're not known for joy because we've been conditioned to pursue happiness, even inside church.
I've heard over and over and over, I just want to go to a church that I feel good when I leave. Mm. I just want to go to a church that makes me feel and I don't know, is that wrong? I don't know exactly what people mean by that. Does mm-hmm. it mean that you just want to feel happiness when you leave church, like yeah. I'm doing good and I'm living my best life and God's happy with me? Or are you looking for that innate sense of joy? I don't know what people mean by that, but I've heard that a lot. Yeah. Like I want to go to this church or that church because I just feel good when I leave. Mm-hmm. I feel.
Well, that's the thing. Like if we're not compelling people to kind of forge their joy, because we always say the world's broken. If we're not compelling people to forge their joy, even including in the midst of their suffering, and they just want a faith that feels good, mm-hmm. then they're going to not have what we're talking about.
Right,
right. Right.
Yeah. Because is faith that feels good a life that feels good? Is that what they equate it to? If that's what they equate it to, there's no way. Yeah.
Right.
Because life doesn't always feel good.
Yeah. I feel like we'll touch on some of these themes or these concepts in the coming series about prayer.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I was just having a conversation with my sisters over the weekend about prayer. We talked a lot about prayer and some celebrity who had recently said they turned away from Christianity because prayer didn't work. Mm. They tried prayer and it didn't work. Mm. I think we have this idea of, you know, how these transactions with God mm-hmm. are supposed to be, mm-hmm. you know, I ask him for this. He does what I ask him to do.
Right.
You know? And then when he doesn't, because we are now disappointed, we're discouraged, we're uncomfortable, we're upset, we're angry. We walk away. Mm-hmm. We turn away. Mm-hmm. We're not forging our faith, through the ups and downs and having this certainty that God is with us, even when he seems distant
right.
or seems silent or, yeah.
Or doesn't answer the way that we
That's
had
right.
hoped.
That's right.
Man, this book I've been reading, it's called The Siren's Call. It's all about people's attention and how we like hold people's attention versus capture people's attention. Mm-hmm. And I think this all plays a part in it. Like if in 2025, if we don't like something, if it's not working for us, we just keep scrolling, you know, yeah. we just keep scrolling and we're not conditioned to be patient for anything. Like if our right. algorithm's not what we wanted, we just create a new one. And so it's much easier to capture someone's attention, including probably from church. It's probably easier to capture someone's attention, but it's almost impossible in 2025 to hold people's attention. Mm-hmm. And something like prayer, like we say all the time, God works on a different timetable, but for people that want to feel good or that aren't equipped to understand prayer or something, it's mm-hmm. like, well, if you're not satisfied with the results on your timetable, you're just going to keep scrolling, so to yeah. speak. And you're going to, because you're, it's like, what's in it for me?
Right.
And it's not a part of my algorithm because it's not working for me. So I'm going to keep scrolling.
Right. But then you read Philippians, you look at the life of Paul,
yeah.
you see how he's imprisoned, how many things are not going his way. And yet he is the guy who is wholeheartedly telling us to rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had prayers that he prayed that weren't answered in the way that,
yeah.
you know, that he would have hoped. I'm sure he wasn't super thrilled to be, you know, brought back to Rome, but as a prisoner. And yet it's from that prison cell that he pens these yeah. words.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Garth Brooks says,
nope.
Some of God's greatest gifts no. are unanswered prayers.
Why do you know that?
And why do you not know?
Yeah, Bobby McFerrin, don't worry, be happy.
I know the song. I just didn't know the words to like the verse.
I'm so disappointed. I'm so disappointed.
All right. So in a world of fear and outrage and anxiety and depression, they're at the tips of our tongues and the tops of our minds. How difficult is it for you guys personally to find peace that surpasses all understanding? Or as Barry put it, a mind-blowing peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm. How difficult
yeah,
is it
for you guys? Like, is it easy? Is it hard? How hard is it?
I don't,
cause I think you have peace.
Yeah.
Or do you not?
No, I do.
Okay.
I don't, I've always sensed the presence of God in my life. Always like very much around me. I've never, like my faith has never wavered. I've never been one of those people that's like, if my prayer isn't answered, then I'm walking. I just.
Don't act like you're a big shot.
Oh my gosh. That's the second time in one episode that you've played that. I'm not a big shot. I don't know why I have that. I wish everybody felt that way. And I think a lot of people do. I don't know. So I don't doubt him at all. So I feel like
I feel like peace is something easy to tap yeah. into
yes.
when life feels yes. stressful yes. or out of control or
you
when
do,
you're
huh?
upset with somebody.
Yes. When life is stressful or out of control, I feel like it's easy to tap into. When I'm upset with somebody, it's a little harder.
Yes. I was asking because I know that's true of you.
Yeah. People yeah. make me really mad.
Like
and
who?
Finding you.
No, I think that you're generally a very content person.
Yes.
A steady, calm person. You're fun. You're the life mm-hmm. of the party. But I've seen where friendships have wounded you. Mm-hmm. Just as an outsider, that seems to be like, wow, if Amy gets upset about anything, it's when she's been deeply hurt or deeply wounded.
Yeah.
In those times, how do you tap in to your peace?
I have a very hard time. Because my go-to is anger immediately. Mm-hmm. Even, I mean, I think every emotion that we display is always from hurt. Mm-hmm. Like it's brokenness and just sadness. I think sadness is the underlying and then yeah. how we express that.
And you're an Enneagram 8?
No, I'm a 3.
Oh, I thought yeah. you were an 8.
No, oh no. I was 7, 8. I was 7 with an 8 wing, but then I also tested 3 with a 4 wing. Really,
sure.
So I get angry and I have to stop myself and like, just be like, why are you mad?
Mm.
Like, why is this bothering you so much? And try to give people the benefit of the doubt in the midst of when they're hurting me. And usually just, I just need to be quiet for a few minutes and like take a second to, and that's real hard for me to be quiet for a few minutes.
But that's really important. Like the number of times we are mandated, told to be still. And that's essentially what you're saying you need in those moments. That is how you tap back into that steady undercurrent of peace.
Yeah.
You just have to be still.
Yeah. I think being still, and that's one of the hardest things for somebody like me, but I do know that that's the only way I can get to, and I don't do it enough. Mm. I need to do it more. I need to stop myself more and be like, okay, you're really riled up right now and you need to take a minute and figure. And I have gotten a lot better of like my defensiveness and stuff like that when I'm in a conversation with somebody that's in like trying to sit and like listen and not respond, or respond for only myself to know and then throw it away or let go of it because it's not worth it. It's not, I need to own more than they do. And so I just need to own it and move on. But yes, that's the hardest. Circumstances are not as hard for me as people. Mm-hmm. People are where I can really struggle. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I have a lot more fears than you do. Mm-hmm. And that's like, if yours is anger, mine is when I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. Like I lose my peace when, you know, all my worst case scenarios are flooding into my mind.
Right.
My kids aren't home yet and they're out there driving and are they okay? And I'm checking their location. Like, you know, I can go to anger. I do get angry. I'm human. But I think the difference between you and I is I just carry so much more fear than you do.
I'm checking Life 360 to see if my kids are having fun somewhere and I'm missing out. I'm like, I hope they're having fun. Where are they right now? What are they doing? I that book that we've been reading, the John Mark Comer, that the whole idea I have carried with me, the whole idea of Christian versus practicing Christian, I can't let go of. Like,
yeah,
I'm good. Like, I think, I mean, I know the times when I'm not being a practicing Christian, and I think we live in a world full of Christians that aren't practicing, and you can't be a non-practicing Christian to experience peace or joy. I don't think it's, I don't think it's possible.
Mm. Yeah. So the book that you're referring to, the staff right now is reading, Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. Mm-hmm. Also our young adults group is going through that book and that study as well. But he suggests that maybe it's time to delineate between Christians and practicing Christians in the same way that many Catholics delineate between Catholics and practicing Catholics, because you can be Catholic or Christian by virtue of family line and kind of heritage. You know, we are all Christians because fill in the blank, or we're all Catholic because grandma's Catholic or something like that. But the practicing Catholics are the ones who make it a practice to go to Mass and do the things. And practicing Christians would be the ones who make an effort to practice the spiritual disciplines. And those Christians are harder to find because it's a narrow road. Mm-hmm. I think why Christians are not generally known for being joyful is because we aren't necessarily delineating between Christian and practicing Christian. Lots of people still just kind of group themselves into this, you know, banner of being Christian. But what does it mean to be a Christian? That's kind of what this book is about. What does it mean to be a disciple, or as he would say, an apprentice to Jesus? Mm-hmm. It's becoming like him. It's doing as he did. That's what makes you a Christian. Yeah. So to become like him is to become more joyful. To do as he did is to practice quiet and stillness and all of the spiritual disciplines.
I'm trying to find statistics of how many people claim Christianity versus practicing Christians.
Right.
Did he have any stats in the book? I can't remember.
I think he did.
Yeah. I feel like that was somewhere, but I don't remember what it was.
Do you guys think, can you, I guess the better question is, how do we become more joyful?
I mean,
practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God.
I wonder.
Still, like you said, like tapping into that steady undercurrent. the abiding presence of God. Barry said it over and over again. Joy is a certainty that the work that God began in you is not in vain. That we can have joy even in our darkest hour because our Lord is near. We lose our joy when we feel untethered to the God who is near. Mm. But things are spiraling, things are out of control. That's when I lose my joy. But doing what Amy just described, stopping, pausing, either stealing away to be alone with the Lord, to hear his still small voice and remember that he is near.
Yeah.
Or maybe I can't steal away. Maybe I'm in the middle of a meeting and it's a stressful meeting. I can go to this place within because the Spirit of God abides within me, and I can find this place of quiet strength, this place of peace and joy, regardless of my external circumstances, because he is with me. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only way to become a more joyful person is to practice his presence.
Yeah.
I think like talking about spiritual disciplines, being a practicing Christian, go to church, surround yourself in spiritual community, worship, serve. I think all of those things bring joy. Like when you practice any kind of self-sacrificing love with community or through service, I think that also there's an innate, like you may be doing hard work. Mm-hmm. It may not be, but there's innate joy to holding a baby in the little one's hallway. There's innate joy to getting to walk someone through the pantry and help them buy grow. There's such joy in serving too. I think there's I think all of the disciplines lead us to joy.
Mm. Yeah.
If we, you know, I talk about that. A practicing Christian. I mean, like half the world goes to church once a month. Like I experience deep joy being in a worship service, seeing people out in the lobby like that. Mm-hmm. That's not just happiness. There's joy in that. There's joy sitting with somebody that is going through a hard time. Even though you ache for them, there is joy in getting to be able to help them. Mm-hmm. Like you get to be a comfort to somebody else. There's joy in that. Yeah. It may be a hard conversation and not make you happy, but there's joy in getting to be a part of God's work.
Yeah. So I wonder if the question is not, how can I be more joyful? The question should be, how can I be more rooted in Jesus today? And the answer is what we're talking about. It's gratitude. It's worship. It's scripture. Obviously it's these practices.
Being with Jesus, becoming more like Jesus.
I'll tell you what, I started a gratitude journal last year and I kept it up this year. And that has made me like, if I'm not feeling great or like, yeah, if I'm wondering how could I be more joyful or something, it's really thinking like, what can I muster out of myself that I can say I'm grateful for? Because that changes the perspective immediately. It's like, okay, I'm grateful for this thing. I think that maybe the question isn't, how do we become more joyful? The question is, how do we become more rooted in Jesus? Because a byproduct of that will be joy.
Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. That is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a byproduct of being filled with his Spirit, his abiding presence.
And I think, again, we live in a society that just wants a quick, easy fix. How can I feel better?
Yeah.
And that there's no quick, easy fix to finding peace and joy.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. All right.
So we solved that.
Yeah, we're doing good.
What are your thoughts on Celebration Sunday?
I thought it was fun.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking about what brings me joy. And you said, go to church, you know? And I mean, it's easy for us to say we work at a church.
Right.
Yeah, we're like, please go to church.
But I think about like some of the brightest moments in my week. Mm-hmm. Most recently, the number of children in this church that refer to me as TT brings me so much joy. TT is what my nieces call me. It's what my nephews call me. It's who I am out there, you know, to my family. Mm-hmm. So to be referred to as a family member within church, Elizabeth's kid calls me TT. Both your kids call me TT. Your kids call me TT. There's some teenagers that are walking around calling me TT.
That's crossing a line.
Well, and one of them, I got to have a long conversation with her and her brother in the lobby today. And it's like I come here and I feel like my family is enormous. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm part of something so much bigger. And Celebration Sunday felt like that for me.
Yeah.
Big time. I mean, we were here, we were gathered, we were my own actual flesh and blood sisters were with me, and that doesn't usually happen.
Oh, yeah. That's
so that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they're people know them because I talk about them a lot.
Right.
So it was nice to be able to introduce them to people. But then I came home to a dining room full of young adults who were all eating pizza at my house. Yeah. And again, just feeling like my family is so much bigger than just my little immediate family of four. Feeling like I'm connected to something so much larger than me. And it's a humbling and very joy filled thing.
Yeah.
To be part of this place.
What are you guys going to remember? Not just about Celebration Sunday, but like about Reimagine in general, because that was the culmination of the initiative. Mm-hmm. Obviously it goes on for two more years, but that'll mostly happen behind the scenes. What will you guys think of or remember about Reimagine?
I've never been part of a church campaign before in my life. So this whole thing.
New to you.
It's very new.
Yeah.
Very foreign to me. It was cool to see the way everything unfolded. And also again, very cool to have my sisters in the room because, you know, I forget what the goal was, 3-something.
Yeah, the goal was 3.25.
3.25, and we got 2.7
pledged.
Pledged, right.
Which is 83%.
Right. Which is huge.
Yep.
It's huge. And especially like to people like my sisters, like who have a smaller church and really don't live in an affluent area, not to mention was just nearly wiped off the planet by a hurricane. Yeah. Like, again, putting things in perspective of wow.
Yeah.
Really? $2.7 million. Right. Wow.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Talking about that with my sisters, having them here for that moment, it's just so far beyond what most churches in our country experience or could ever even dream of. Yep. And again, shows me how fortunate we are. And I'm so humbled to be part of a church where the people of this place just pledged that amount of money to see this place grow.
Yeah, I would say when somebody today was calculating out of the giving units, because there were about, 390?
Almost 400.
It was about $7,000 per giving unit. That's really significant.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's obviously not how it played out. Some gave way more than 7,000 and some had to give less, but that's huge to me that close to 400 people chose to sacrifice above and beyond so that we can grow. And
when the average church attendance in America is 40, 40 people.
Yeah.
I
think too, along those lines, our staff, I was blown away that 100% of our staff was all in. They already make a lot of sacrifices to work at Grace. Many of them financially, they make sacrifices so that they can serve here and be part of what's happening here. And for them to step up in what I would say really big ways to be committed to this was really overwhelming and humbling for me. I just felt such gratitude for our staff. Mm-hmm. Like that blew me away.
We have 542 people that Grace attenders identified as people that they're going to be praying for that are not currently close to Jesus. So 542. And that's what I think I will remember the most about Reimagine and the kind of bringing that back into the culture of our church of like, or we're shifting our attention in our language, in our thoughts, and now our prayers back to this concept of the one person. That's what I'm going to remember because I remember when we first started talking about this initiative and we wrestled with, should we include this component of the one? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I feel good about that. I don't know if people will like
resonate
that's language
with it.
From 10 years ago. I don't know if people will resonate with it, but that was the best decision. I think we made this whole campaign.
I had a couple of people tell me that yesterday what they loved was that it was clear that the ones were more important than the money that we, mm-hmm. that we got, mm-hmm. that we like threw out the number. Thanks so much for giving. We're so appreciative. And then the ones took center stage and they were like, that was so meaningful to them. And, and I think that it felt that way kind of the whole time. Like that. Was
I know for at least one person, their one was in attendance for the first time. Hadn't been to church in 15 years and had never been to Grace Church. And one of us read that person's name out loud. Mm-hmm.
Just interesting.
It was just this really powerful connection and a culmination of everything we've been talking about. Why we want to make this place more inviting to people to come is because we all have people that need to encounter Christ and have those transcendent and transformational encounters here.
Yep.
And one of them, at least one of them was here for the first time yesterday. Yeah, that's cool.
That is cool.
Your first church initiative, capital initiative, whatever, is also my kid's first initiative. And so I was taking Milo to school today. And we only had one service, so his class was not happening on Sunday. And so he was in the auditorium.
All the kids were in there.
And so I was asking him what he thought about it. And he told me, because a couple weeks ago, so another thing I'm going to remember about this is the kind of cross-generational participation. Like a couple of weeks ago, he wrote on a leaf the name of somebody that he knows that is going to be his one. And that leaf is now hanging in the lobby now, but it was on stage Sunday, with that person's name on it. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know that's what was going to happen. And so when he saw the tree, he was like, is my friend's name up there? And I was like, yeah, buddy, it's going to be up there for like 2 more years. And he was like, oh, that's cool. So like the cross-generational component of this is also something I will remember. 'Cause in 2 years he's going to be, you know, 10 years old and he'll have that tree still be in the lobby.
And who knows, maybe his friend will come to church.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think another thing I'll remember is, so the worship at the end was awesome. Worship is always great. But specifically, Jaden and Micah were on together. Jaden was drumming. Micah was standing right in front of him, just so happened. And Micah was singing. And they met in high school in like a production class. And Jaden invited Micah to church. And Micah's been so actively involved in worship, in the show. He's found community here. He's a small group leader with our merch students. Just that's...
Yeah, he's all the way in.
That's a picture of what we're talking about. Bringing people in. They're finding connection. They're growing in the Lord. Micah's growing in his gifts. The way he sang yesterday versus the way he sang the first time I put him on the stage.
Yeah.
My goodness. Just, the exponential growth I've seen in him in all sorts of ways. That's exactly what is possible. I'm seeing
it
lived out.
He found a family here.
Yeah.
He found family. Like, it's become his family. It's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. And him and Jaden get to live, you know, this leg of their spiritual journey
together
in this place.
Yeah. It was the last 7 weeks have been, I think, really cool. And the way our volunteers have, I mean, that's the other thing. My gosh, what they've done to make things happen. And the Just for Fun event was crazy and awesome. And it was so funny. Brooke Longus stopped me yesterday. She was one of the gals that helped. She and Linda Quigley and a myriad of other, particularly women, helped with the Just for Fun event. But Brooke was taking a walk with somebody that she's close to. And they were like, so this thing, I mean, like, is it a fundraiser? Like what? And she was like, no. And she's like, you're not raising money for anything. She's like, it's just for fun. And Brooke's
eager
like,
to navigate the fun.
And Brooke was like, yeah, it is just for fun. And that's the name of the event. Like, it was like, she was like, it was like, she got it. She got it. And so I just thought that was really fun that she, because people talked about, should we name it this? It seems kind of silly. And then she was like, she nailed it. She was like, and it was, there was something for everyone, every generation. And it was fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
now we have people, there's demand to do it every year.
They want to do it every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how everyone feels about that, but lots of people would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to look back in fondness. I think when we talked about this in August, the thought of a 7-week series on the heels of like all these meetings and all these events, and it just seemed very daunting. Mm-hmm. And now that we're past it, it's like, oh, that I thought that was a really good time for period for the church, like and the vibes and the culture and the what God has done. Yeah.
And then what it'll feel like when there's pardon our dust signs around the building and we start to see these things really take shape. Like, that's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the projects and what we'll end up getting to do and how it will impact our community and then the outside community and make this place more accessible for everybody. Like, I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, and more sustainable into the future.
Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of the future.
Yep.
Where are we going next, Maren?
Maren gets to tell
perfect
you.
Perfect segue.
Where are we going next?
Wow. Okay. Well, I get to kick off our next series starting this coming Sunday. It's a real short one. It's only 3 weeks and then we're at Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. But this will be a prayer series all about prayer. There's a couple surprises in there and I won't give them away here, but that's where we're going. We're going into a series about prayer.
3 weeks.
I've been thinking nonstop about it and I can't wait to launch us.
Yeah. So you are preaching and then Milton Keys is coming to preach middle service. Mm-hmm. And then you again, right?
Yeah. I had lunch with Milton not long ago and I asked him, hey, we've got this series about prayer coming up. You can preach then, or we have this other series in May. You could preach then. And when I told him what the two topics were about, he immediately, with no question, he said, I want to talk about prayer.
Yeah.
And I specifically want to talk about this aspect of prayer. And it is the most Milton thing ever. And I cannot wait. Can't wait to have him on the podcast. Can't wait to hear him. Can't wait to hang out with him.
It'll be fun.
All right. So we're actually going to take a 1 week break from the podcast.
When?
Okay.
Next week.
Oh, so you don't need me. Is that so you don't have to have me two times?
No, is that because you're not sure where you're going to be on spring
break? Yeah, I might be in Florida. Oh. I might be at the beach.
Okay.
So we're going to take a 1 week break and then we'll be back with Milton.
Great.
Mm-hmm. In the new series.
And then Barry will be back.
I think Barry will be back for that.
Oh.
For the one with Milton.
I'll see you all, friends of the pod. I'll see you all in 6 or 7 months. It's been good.
When are you preaching again?
Actually May 4th.
Oh, all right.
May the 4th be with
you.
That's
right. That's
right. Oh, and people think we should do fun games for core team.
Like, yeah, core team's on May 4th.
Yeah, could we have like Brian Pratt and like Barry do a reenactment of like Darth
lightsaber,
Vader.
Lightsaber fight.
Yeah, because all those people are so into it. Like it's so, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Please have Brian Pratt and Barry do a reenactment.
That would be hysterical.
By the way, I feel like this is a good time for a PSA. If you're a friend of the pod, you need to be in core team. Yes. Like I feel like if you listen to the podcast
every week,
you're bought in.
Yeah.
You're part of this church.
Yeah. So we'll see you on the 4th.
Be in the core team.
Yeah. Be in the core team.
How do they do that?
You go to gracechurch.us/core, of course.
Of course they do. But I had to ask you because you're the guy who knows.
Yeah. It's a good call. Most of the friends of the pod are Grace people.
Yeah. But
so if you don't go to Grace, don't join the core team.
Oh, well, but maybe that'll get them to Grace. They join the core team and then they're like, I'm in. Yeah. Love it here.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right. So we're taking a week off and we will be back in mid-April, the week before Easter.
March right now?
April 13th. What is it?
No, the 6th.
You'll be back April 6th.
Well, April 6th is the Sunday that I think Milton is speaking.
So you'll be back the 7th.
We'll be back the 7th. All right. Great. Maren?
Yeah.
Will you please send us out?
Of course. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God.
And we'll see you on the other side of Sunday.